called to give.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on 91.5 FM WMIE, today's Modern Worship. And for the next half hour, we're going to be spending some time in the book of 1 Kings chapter 20. A lot of people talk about 1 Kings chapter 19. That's where Elijah is up on the mountain and is running away from Jezebel and ends up getting his next marching orders. A lot of people talk about that. But there's some really interesting stuff in chapter 20, and it's kind of a little bit intriguing because Elijah is in chapter 19, thinks that he's all by himself, even though he's just encountered a number of other believers before the Mount Carmel encounter. And then in chapter 20, we have this unnamed prophet who starts ministering to Ahab as Elijah, I'm assuming, is away on another assignment. And so I want you to know today that if you feel like you're all by yourself and serving God, the reality is you're not. You're not. You might wonder about whether it's all been worth it or not, but I can tell you this, it is. You might wonder whether or not God is going to be able to deliver from a very sticky situation, a very ominous threat, but I can tell you he can, he will, he does. And so we're going to talk a lot about that today, but I want to say thank you to Bill Andrike at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. So here not too long ago, I saw a thing on Facebook, and it said, please give a list of who you would recommend for the replacement of an AC system. And then it had this, and why? And why? And my answer to that is this. I want to deal with people of integrity. I want to deal with people of skill and expertise so that when they come out and get it set up, that it gets set up correctly. But I also want to deal with people who are going to be truthful, who are going to be people of principle. And so I like for my mechanic to be a person that I can trust. And I like my air conditioning people to be people that I can trust. And that is true of the folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. It's also true of the folks at Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538. And the difference is the amount of territory that they cover. Creative AC Solutions deals primarily with central Brevard County. Wyrick Air deals with all of Brevard County from one end to the other, and they also have people in the electrical field as well as the AC and heating field. So Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, because they are not going to rip you off. They are going to deal with you professionally and with expertise, and so we encourage you to call them. Tonight at Merritt Assembly of God, we're going to be having our midweek services, 7 p.m. We're coming up here in a little over a week and a half, if I do my math right, for our annual business meeting, which is coming up, where we're going to be celebrating the best year that our church has ever had. We're very excited about that. But tonight we will be having our Bible study, the adult Bible study, then we also have our youth service. And I want to say thank you to the leaders of both of those things, because this is the one night where I'm the floater. You know, a lot of these multi-site businesses, they have people who float in between branches or satellite sites to fill whatever voids or vacancies might need to be occupied during that day. So you might be able to see this person over here at this location. And then if you're in a different part of the county, you can walk in and say, well, what are you doing down here? And it's because they float. Well, on Wednesday night, that's what I do. I'm the backup for whatever needs to be backed up that night. And so I do not have, this is the night that I set aside. I don't have any primary responsibilities. And so some nights I actually just get to be a participant in the service, which is a rare thing, and it's greatly appreciated. But so we have youth tonight at 7. My daughter, Robin, heads that ministry up for the youth. And then we have adult leaders that teach the Bible study on Wednesday night at 7. And we encourage you to come out and be a part of that. So we're going to talk a little bit about deliverance today, but this, to set the stage for you before we get to the deliverance aspect of what God wants to deliver us from, and there are reasons for that. I mean, he loves us. That's a great reason to deliver us. It's in our best interest to be delivered. That's a great interest as well. But We're gonna get to probably tomorrow. We'll get to the reason that that God tells Ahab here, I'm gonna deliver this enemy into your hands. Now remember, Ahab was no friend of the faith. He was actually an enabler. Easy for me to say. He enabled people who were not believers to facilitate idol worship in Israel, where Jehovah God was supposed to have been worshipped. And so Ahab was no saint. Israel did pretty well underneath him economically and things like that. But in spite of all of his encounters with Jehoshaphat, later on the king of Judah, and his encounters with Elijah, and having a few godly counselors that were surrounding him, and then with this unnamed prophet here, he just continued to harden his heart and fight against God. We don't want that to be a reality for any of us. Let me begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter 20. It says, now Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his forces together. Listen to this. 32 kings were with him. With horses and chariots, he went up and besieged Samaria and made war against it. Then he sent messengers into the city to Ahab, king of Israel, and said to him, thus says Ben-Hadad, your silver and your gold are mine, your loveliest wives and children are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, O king, just as you say, I and all that I have are yours. Then the messengers came back and said, thus speaks Ben-Hadad, saying, indeed, I have sent to you, saying, you shall deliver to me your silver and your gold, your wives and your children. But I will send my servants to you tomorrow about this time, and they will search your house and the houses of your servants. And it shall be that whatever is pleasant in your eyes, they will put it in their hands and take it. So the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, notice, please, and see how this man seeks trouble. For he sent to me for my wives, my children, my silver, and my gold, and I did not deny him. And all the elders and all the people said to him, do not listen or consent. Therefore he said to the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king all that you sent for to your servant the first time, I will do. But this thing I cannot do. And the messengers departed and brought back word to him. Then Ben-Hadad sent to him and said, the gods do so to me and more also, if enough dust is left of Samaria for a handful for each of the people who follow me. So the king of Israel answered and said, I love this line, tell him, let not the one who puts on his armor boast like the one who takes it off. Let not the one who puts on his armor boast like the one who takes it off. Now, You have to understand how ancient warfare was waged. There wasn't a Publix or a Winn-Dixie or a Save-A-Lot or any of that sort of stuff. There were no grocery stores, no convenience stores really inside the city. And so whenever an invading force would come, the people who were out in the fields who were responsible for growing all of the crops and having the herds and the flocks and all of the food sources, they would migrate to a fortified city such as Samaria. Samaria was the capital of the 10 northern tribes known as Israel. And these invading forces would come and they would lay siege to the land. They would cut it off. So if they could eliminate the water supply into the city, then they knew that within a few days, that the people inside the city were going to be begging to come out. They would be negotiating from a point of weakness and desperation rather than from a position of strength. So they would try and cut them off financially. They would try and cut them off from water, and they would try and cut them off from food. So whenever you see the term lay siege, that's what was taking place. So Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathers 32 kings with him. You do not rally a force of 32 different kings and kingdoms in order to go on a peaceful negotiation. He has hostile intent, and so he comes against Samaria, and I don't know exactly the time frame, how long the city had been under siege, but he sends messengers to the king, to Ahab, and he says to him, "Thus says Ben-Hadad." Ben would be a root word for means son, so this was the son of Hadad. And I want to tell you something about "thus says Ben-Hadad." "Thus says Ben-Hadad" does not equal "thus says the Lord." Don't ever forget to elevate God's voice to the highest voice of influence in your life. "Thus says Ben-Hadad" is designed to inspire terror and fear, and worry, inferiority, desperation. That's what all of this was designed to do. It was designed to intimidate. So he places demands, and the implication is that if you meet my demands, then I am going to retreat and I will go away. So listen to what the priorities of Ben-Hadad are. He says, "Thus says Ben-Hadad, your silver and your gold are mine. Your loveliest wives and children are mine." So this invading king says, "I'm coming for all of your finances. I'm coming for your wives." And it does say your loveliest wives there. "And I'm coming for your children. I'm coming for your resources. I'm coming for those that you walk in covenant with. And I'm coming for your descendants. I am going to eliminate your future." That's basically what Ben-Hadad is coming and demanding. Now, if you've listened to this program for any length of time, you've heard me say that if it is important enough to the devil, if it was valuable enough to him for him to want to steal it, then it should be valuable enough for us to want to retain it. But I want to show you the value system of Ahab. Okay? Your silver and your gold are mine. So he says, okay, if I've got to give up some finances in order to have some peace, Ahab says, "My lord, O king, just as you say, we are yours." Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody tries to break into my bank account, I don't like that very much. First of all, they're going to be greatly disappointed. Second, you know, that's God's provision for me, not God's provision for a thief. And so I've got an invested interest. There are some things that money is set aside for. There's purpose for that. There's a bill that's supposed to be paid. There's an offering that is going to be given. There's a tithe that's involved in there. And so I can't just willingly say, you know what? Fine. I will accept financial ruin for the sake of peace. I can't say that. I can't do that. Now, when a thus says the Lord versus a thus says Benadad, I know this, that when God says the tithe belongs to him, it is holy, that first 10%, I recognize that thus says the Lord, he's the King of Kings. He's the sovereign of all the universe. And so when he says something is his, it truly does belong to him. And I know that when I give him what belongs to him, he's going to give me everything that I need that pertains to me. But in this situation, I'm not so concerned about the finances. I'm concerned when he says, your loveliest wives and your children are mine. I do not view my wife and my kids or my grandchildren as negotiating points with an enemy. I want my wife to know that I value her, that I treasure her. Ladies, I hope that you understand that you are more than just property, as some societies around the globe devalue women too. You are daughters of the Most High God. You were created for purpose and destiny. I know that earlier this week we talked about Gideon, where it says, you mighty man of valor. But that word in Proverbs 31, that she was a woman of virtue, that word virtue and valor are similar words. There's value there. You are more than just a pretty face. You are created with divine destiny and purpose by God. But when a husband and wife are walking together, now, first of all, I want to remind you who Ahab was married to. Ahab was married to a wicked idolater named Jezebel. Jezebel was hostile to faith. She was threatening to Elijah. She's in chapter 19. She said that, let me come back here and find it. Verse number 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. I mean, she was a lovely individual. And so when Benadad comes and says, your loveliest wives are mine, Ahab says, no problem. Here, take Jezebel. That's not the way. We do not need to look at our covenant relationships as disposable relationships. We need to treasure them. We need to value them. We need them to know, hey, you know what? I am going to defend you with my very life. I believe that some of the greatest weapons that God has in his army are redeemed, born again, spirit-filled, know the word of God and know the power of the God of his word, women. I'm telling you, there was a lady, Judy Jacobs, I believe is her name, a friend of hers is Karen Wheaton. And Karen Wheaton talked about a time where there was an attack that came against Judy Jacobs' child, and some serious spiritual warfare began to take place, because there's divine destiny there. We need to be believing that God is going to raise up young people once again in the house of God. There needs to be a deliverance from the enemy, because there needs to be another generation that comes up that knows God and will do great exploits, who has the same type of powerful, loving encounter with the Almighty God that we have had, and even greater. My prayer for my kids is that they will be able to accomplish more in the kingdom of God than what I was able to accomplish, and I want to set that bar very, very high. So I would look at these things, and I would say, you know what? I think we've got a problem here. You've got 32 kings, but I'm not going to just be able to hand these over to you. I think we're going to have to tangle a little bit. That would be my response. But the king of Israel says, nope, okay, everything you want. My wives, my kids, my money. You want it? You got it. Will you just leave us alone? And the next day, a new demand comes. Can I tell you that you will never be able to pacify an insatiable, demanding devil? He is never going to be content with your level of depravity. He's always going to be trying to create in you a desire for more and more ungodliness. He wants you. He doesn't just want you bound with one link of the chain. He wants the chain wrapped around you over and over and over and over again. And Jesus still wants to come, have you know the truth, abide in his word, and let the truth of God's word set you free. That's the way it's always going to be. God wants you to know more of him, and the devil wants to prevent you from knowing anything more about God than you already do. And so the king's, Ben-Hadad's messengers comes back the next day with more demands. And he says, indeed, I have sent to you saying you shall deliver to me your silver and your gold, your wives and your children. But I will send my servants to you tomorrow about this time, and they shall search your house and the houses of your servants, and it shall be that whatever is pleasant in your eyes, they will put it in their hands and take it. There was going to be something that would take place where these messengers of Ben-Hadad would come in, and they would walk, and they would not be so fixated on the things that they were seeing as much as the response that they were getting from Ahab and his servants. If they saw a visible response of, oh, wow, I really treasure this. This is something that is very to me. It's very desirable to me. They'd say, you know what? We want that. Isn't it ironic that the devil has convinced so many people that God wants to be the one that takes away all of your joy, when it is actually the devil who takes away all of your joy? The devil does not want you happy. The devil wants you miserable. The devil doesn't want you healthy. He wants you extremely physically assaulted. He wants you afflicted at every turn. He doesn't want you to succeed financially unless those finances become a bondage to you. He wants you miserable at every turn. And so I would ask you today, if you were having an escort through your house and somebody was looking for the things that you delighted in, what would they find? Okay? So some people might say, oh man, I love this television. I love this computer. For some, it might be the things that they have in their kitchen. They might have, you know, some really, you know, upscale appliances or something like that. But I wonder if they came to Christians' houses, if they would find that we have a well-worn Bible, that we value our relationship with God. See, because no matter what tangible things, whether it's my house or my cars or anything like that. Listen, I can let all of those go because I've got decades of walking with God that knows that God said that if we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else would be added to us. I know that my provider is greater than the stuff that I've got. So there's not a whole lot that I'm emotionally attached to as far as stuff goes. But when it comes to my relationship with God, I do take a lot of joy in that relationship. And so the king says, look, you wanted my wives, you wanted my children, you wanted my money, and I didn't say anything. But now you're really getting close to home, and we're starting to have a problem here. And I am not going to listen to you, and I'm not going to do this thing. Where is your point of no return? Because if Ahab had relented this day, there would have been another demand the next day. God is looking, look, whatever he's provided for us in our lives, I want to say thank you, God, for your indescribable gift. So whatever you've got today, say, God, I want to thank you. God, how can I position myself? How can I prepare myself so that I don't end up in a situation where Benadads are speaking into my life, but I can position myself where God is speaking into my life, and he's not looking for things to steal from my life. He's looking for ways that he can empower our lives. Okay? And everything that God says, I want to do. Last thing I'm going to talk about today. So the king of Israel answered and said, because Ben-Hadad said, you know what, we're going to wipe you off of the earth. There's just going to be dust left by the time we got done. And I love this. Ahab responds, let not the one who puts his armor on boast like the one who takes it off. You see, the person who takes their armor off is a person who has just come back victorious from the battle. They've taken it off. They've now got experience. And Ahab is telling him, look, I don't think you've been in a battle like you're getting ready to be in one. I have been. And I want you to know something. You and I, we are in a serious spiritual warfare, and we have been equipped with armor. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Study on the armor of God. Put it on, not to say, oh no, what am I going to do? We put it on because it's a gift from God. I'm here to tell you today, you are equipped for whatever the enemy brings your way. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I am faith.